going to try. And let's look at verse 8. Something I believe God has been I believe it's more than just personal, but I believe it has to do with our, whether it be perception, impression, or just our thoughts towards the Lord and how he thinks towards us. And when we read his word or even when we hear his word preached, sometimes it can seem, there's a group. I'm not saying anybody in here is part of that group. And when I say it's a group, it's not like it's a clique or something like that, that they travel all around in packs, but it's like around the body of Christ. There's many, and they call them, whether they call them seeker-friendly churches or people who are seeker-friendly, they have this impression that when the gospel is preached, it's in a threatening manner. And sometimes people in other venues, if you will, not necessarily the body of Christ, can perceive something that somebody says to them as threatening. And, if you're listening to it, you might think, well, how was that threatening? But then on the other hand, if you're listening, you might say, man, that would seem like a threat, something like that. And everybody's got an opinion. And, you have one on one side, one on the other side about those types of things. But, something that the Lord, I believe, just been ministering to me is like when he's sharing truth, when I'm reading his word personally, because, you never get beyond the place of being able to be taught, being able to be corrected, being able to be, fine-tuned, for lack of better words. Maturing, if you will. You don't get to the place where you have a ride while you're still in this carnal body, if you will. We'll reach perfection when we get in that glorified body, when we see Jesus face to face, we'll be as he is. But while we're yet in this earth, we are perfect by God. We are just men made perfect by God, but we are imperfect in this body, and I hope that makes sense. Our perfection and all of that is in Christ and what he's did for us and the position that he's put us in, because we may not feel like we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but it's a truth. We may not feel like we're strong in the Lord, but it's a truth in our position, okay? And so I'm saying all of that to say, the way God has just been communicating, and it could just be me, and that's fine too. But if it's working for me, I would want to share it with others in the body of Christ to help them as well. And it's like God is like communicating with us, I'm not just telling you, do this, do this, do this. I'm not just telling you rules and regulations and stuff like that. This is life. This is my type of life. You want to know me? This is me. You want to know what holiness is? This is me. The things that I'm telling you, be holy because I'm holy. It's not like I'm just trying to force you to do something that, just to make me feel good. It's like, no, I'm trying to teach you how to live. And so when I speak to you, when I speak to you from my word, when I speak to you from my servants, when I speak to you even in the private chamber or even when you're in prayer, when I speak to you, it's because I'm trying to reveal to you when he doesn't have to try anything, but you understand what I mean in using the word try. He's revealing to us what he wants for us. It's not just and you may have been in that place, so I've never received it like that anyways. But it's like, no, if God tells us, okay, let's deal with something that's open, plain, and evident. Let's deal with fornication, if you will. And God says don't fornicate. It's because that's not the godly type of life. That is the fallen nature. And so that type of life only leads to death. that type. Whether people feel good about it, feel comfortable about it, comfortable about it, or whether the society as a whole accepts it as a norm, it's still wrong when it comes to the measure or to the quality, if you will, of life that I have called you to, because it's the life that I live. Remember, God's bringing us out of darkness into light. And so things that we liked in darkness, the reason we liked it in darkness is because we could see no wrong with it. But then when God brings us in the light, now we see not from darkness perspective, now we see from light, and we can see the error in it if we be truthful and honest with ourselves. We start to see things from God's perspective. And we start to, you know, Paul said it like this, a spiritual man judges all things. It doesn't mean that we go around condemning people, but we examine things and we examine them from a spiritual perspective because we've been born again and we've been born from above. Whether we feel like it or not, when we repented of our sins, we got born again. We got born from above. It wasn't a natural birth. It was a spiritual birth. We were spiritually dead towards God. Now we're spiritually alive towards God. And so there's a spiritual awareness of things. And so now Dad is teaching us how to live in the Spirit, by the Spirit, be led of the Spirit. For these are the sons of God. And so his communication is not even in a, you know, just kind of a harsh, rebuking, you know, just constantly correcting. I can't do nothing right. I can't do this right. I can't do that. You know, you're just too hard to please. It's not even that type of a relationship. It's a love relationship. It's God telling us things that prove and doing things that proves his love for us. And he's showing us, Jesus said this, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So he's showing us the way. He's telling us the way out of darkness into light and how to live in the light and then enjoy the light. Because see, what we'll do as people, we'll become religious. We'll pray the sinner's prayer. We'll attend church. We'll clap our hands when we'll sing our songs, and then we'll go on as if none of that meant anything and go back to living the same old life that we lived before we came to him. And with Dad, it's like, no, you once were darkness. Now ye are light. Walk, live, regulate yourselves as sons and daughters of the light. That's what he says, I believe, in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, you know, telling us to walk circumspect. We once were darkness. We once were dead in trespasses and sins, but now we're alive. We once were dead to God. And the nature that we live by hated God and still hates God. The fleshly, carnal, fallen nature of man hates God. And this is what Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 8. He talks about the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, if you will. And he talks about the fleshly mind. Not only is it enmity against God, and that word enmity, it's hatred. It's hatred. When you look up the definition for enmity, it's hatred. It's like deep-seated, deep-rooted hatred. We can see it in the natural, if you will. We can see it when a person hates another person because of their ethnicity. We can see it when a person hates a person because they may be jealous of them. I hate them, you know. For whatever reason, we can see that and we can recognize it. Well, that's how our fallen nature is towards God. Now, an issue that came up with this young congresswoman, she made a remark about Israel, and that some congressmen are influenced through lobbyists through AIPAC, and that's why they always are protecting and defending Israel. And so it was so offensive, you know, to the level that they took it to, that they rebuked her. They rebuked her from her own party, and they, you know, they had her apologize. She apologized, but the president said the apology wasn't sincere. He said it's deep-rooted, and he's right. What do you mean he's right? Because when you know, when you trace it back, not just Esau and Isaac, but you go back to Ishmael, not Esau and Jacob, but you go back to Ishmael and Isaac, and you see where this battle began. And so you have those that came from Abraham's loins, but God says, I chose Isaac, and Isaac shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There was a blessing on Ishmael, but not like Isaac. And so that war has been going on. It's a historical war that's been going on since that time, if you will. And it doesn't get any better. And that's what you see going on when you have those, they call it Palestinians against the Israelis, if you will, and these other nations around them. All of them are against Israel. They say Israel is just, you know, occupying the land, but they're not the rightful ones, if you will. I look at the one that's calling on Jehovah. Praise God. You know, hey, who's calling on Jehovah? You know, that's the one I believe is got the right theology and have a right to that land, that territory, because it's all going to be, you know, cleared up and cleared out and set straight and in order when Jesus comes. But you could see the deep-rooted hatred, if you will. You can recognize it. Death to Israel, Iran. They've said it time and time again. Death to Israel. They want to destroy. They want to wipe Israel off the face of the globe, off the face of the map, if you will. Deep-rooted hatred. You have deep-rooted hatred between blacks and whites. You know, you have deep-rooted hatred. You know, just, it can be even in siblings, brothers and sisters, if you will. It could be, you know, other relatives and things like that. It could be friendship. They started off as friendships, and then all of a sudden they hate one another. Well, I'm just trying to throw out there just examples of what we can relate to as, you know, flesh and blood. But this is how the carnal nature is towards God. It hates God. But I love God. But your carnal nature hates him. And so your carnal nature, the carnal mind, the carnal nature of man, if you will, it's an enmity with God. So that means there's a deep-rooted, deep-seated hatred towards the things of God. And it says that carnal mind, that carnal nature is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And so Paul, when he was addressing the church at Corinth, he says, brothers, I had a desire to come to you, you know, to give you, I want to give you meat, if you will, but I can't give you meat. I have to give you milk because you're still carnal. You're still behaving like, you know, babes, immature, mere men, if you will, on that line. And you've heard this before, but it's something because the flesh will keep trying to rise up. And if you don't keep this thing in check, it will resurrect itself and it will lead you. And you will find yourself rebelling against God. You might think that you're rebelling against man, but you find yourself rebelling against God. And so everything that God is teaching, especially when Paul lays out, now the works of the flesh, they are manifest or they are evident. And then he goes down the list. And then he says, now the fruit of the Spirit. And then when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such there is no law. Why? Because that's the right way to live. And that's the manifestation of the Spirit of God operating in the life of a believer. And if so, if the love and the joy and the peace is not manifesting, it's because either we're not yielding to the Spirit of God or we don't have the Spirit of God. But if the Spirit of God is on the inside of us, then this is what he's producing. And a people rises up that looks more like Jesus than they do of the world. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were not just preaching Jesus, but they were living like Jesus. And it reflected in their lives. And it wasn't like they were given a compliment. It was in a derogatory manner, from what I've been told. It's like, there's those Christians, you know, something like that, in a negative way. Why? Because they were representing the life of Christ, and people were trying to snuff them out even in that day and time. They chased Paul and Silas from one city to another, if you will. They chased the disciples and had them scattered abroad all over the place. But everywhere that they went, they preached the word of God. And God would confirm the word with the accompanying signs and wonders, if you will. And so Dad's approach to us is not one of a hard taskmaster. Here it comes again. That parable of, you know, the talents, if you will, and the one that goes and buries his talent. And he's like, I knew you to be a hard taskmaster. You know, reaping what you have not sown. And just, you know, and then he's just going on, if you will. And Jesus is like, well, if you knew that, why didn't you at least go deposit my money in a bank so it could at least earn interest so I would have that when I come, if that's what you really thought? And so his outlook on God wasn't good. And our outlook on God ought to be good. To the point that we take the 5 and we bring back 10. We take the 2 and we bring back 4. But we don't take the 1 and come back with nothing or just the 1. We become fruitful. We not only have his word, but we have his spirit. And the fruit does not come from doing carnal things. The fruit comes from doing the spiritual things. And so thus, Jesus tells us, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He lets us know there's a distinction, there's a difference. You were born of the flesh at one time, but now you've been born again. And what happens is when you get born again, the old man dies. The carnal way of living dies. The natural way of living dies. Now you start living in the realm of the spirit, because now you're a child of God, and you're on a mission, you're on an assignment, not as a taskmaster beating you, trying to make you do stuff. He's always making me do stuff I don't want to do. The don't want to do, that's the old man and the old nature. You get that? And so if God tells you don't do something, the old man is like, I want to do it. And so you're telling me I can't do it, so I can't even enjoy life. I can't have fun. I can't do this. I can't do that. And it's like, that's the old man crying out. He needs to be crucified. He needs to be told to shut up and die. Not your physical death, if you will, because you're still alive and you're alive to God. So God wants to use you every day of your life on this earth till it's time for you to go home. Your last breath is because you have done everything concerning the will of God concerning you, and now it's time to go home. You want to live and glorify God every day of your life. You don't just want to, Lord, bless me and bless me and bless me and bless me. And then you go on and live as if, you know, it's like he's nowhere around, if you will. It's bless me so I can live my life. It's like, no. Lord, bless me that I may live your life, that I may live to glorify you in everything that I do. Lord, bless me that I may be prosperous in what I do for you. When you go on that job, Lord, bless me that I possess the character and nature of Christ, that I go into this place and I do service as unto you, not unto man, that boss. I'm not disrespecting or disregarding the boss. He gave me the opportunity. Now I'm going to come in here and glorify you by doing a good job on this job. Because when they look at me and they say, man, this guy's always working. This guy's always doing this. This guy. And it's like, man, the boss ain't looking. You could take a 15, 20-minute break. But my boss is looking. And I only get a 10-minute break. And so I'm going to stay within that time frame because I'm here to glorify him and not me. Amen. And so it's everything, our attitude, all of that. You know, because the flesh will rise up at any given moment if we let it, and it will embarrass us. And so Dad teaches us to keep this thing in check, crucify it, with this desires. What does that mean? Kill the very passions, the very desires. No, you never give in to it. Well, how do I overcome it? Paul said, if you, see, he's talking about me, talking to me. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's our out. Walking in the Holy Ghost, which is what Dad wants us to do. We make it difficult because we think it's just too hard. But see, you got to start somewhere. You got to start. The Bible even recognizes through Peter what he tells us. You know, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. In other words, the simplicity of the word to help you to grow. What do you mean grow? Grow in the Spirit. You're not trying to grow in the natural no more. You're trying to grow in the Holy Ghost now. You're trying to surrender to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, because that's what Dad says. They that are led of the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You're not supposed to be led by your natural and carnal inclinations anymore. Now you're led by the Spirit of the living God. And this is where prophecy comes for. This is where the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, this is where faith comes for. Gifts of healings and workers of men. They will never happen if we don't pursue the things of the Spirit. We'll look and admire others. And really, it's not to be a show. It's not to showcase us. It's to glorify God. The gifts are given to build up the body of Christ. We want to learn how to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis. We got to learn. It doesn't just come automatically. It comes through growing. It comes through maturing. It comes through, you know, not giving over to the old nature and the old man anymore. We're not natural beings no more. We're spirit beings. We used to be spiritually dead, but not no more. And we're not goofy like many of them out there just chasing spirits, because the Bible tells us there are many spirits out there, but you need to test those spirits to see whether they be of God. Because God is not weird. He's not goofy and things like that. God is awesome. And he's spirit. And so we learn, you know, I don't see him. I don't feel him. Spend time with him. Spend time until the atmosphere, until where you're at with him in privacy, all of a sudden, where you once just felt yourself, now you sense the very presence of God. And you will know the difference. And the difference will increase more and more and more. If you never do it, you'll never experience it. Well, I tried, but nothing happened. Yes, it did. You just were too natural. So what do? You keep going. You keep pressing. You keep welcoming, you keep worshiping, you keep pressing, you keep reading his word. And as you're reading, you're eating. You're not just reading like a book. You're eating, you're feeding your spirit, because that's what your spirit hungers for. It longs for the courts of the Lord. It longs for the presence of God, but it feeds off of the word. And so you feed your spirit, and then you're seeking God, and you're communicating with. Then you even get silent, and then you listen for him. And you do this on a regular, consistent basis. This ain't nothing you just try. See if it's cold. It's cold, I ain't getting in. No, this is nothing you just try. This is something you step into it. You step into it, and you watch the difference. You watch the maturity. You watch the growth. You watch the transformation. You watch the transitioning. You watch all of a sudden. You sitting there. I got a word. Huh? I got a word. You won't do it out of order like that, but it's like you know that the Spirit of God has spoken to you and given you something, whether it be for you or for someone else or for the body, and you give that word. And then you feel good because you know that you've done the will of God and you've helped to either edify somebody else or God has brought something to you that builds you up and makes you more confident in the faith. And then you keep growing in that, because that's how God's going to get the attention of others. When you're able to speak something to them that they look at you and say, how in the world you know that? Spirit of God revealed it to me. How did he reveal it? Because I spend time with him. If you don't spend time with him, you can't expect anything from him. Amen? Stand to your feet. I said Romans chapter 8. I did over some scripture. But if you would, why don't you read verses Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through like 16. I think that'll be good to chew on. Amen. Because this life is worth the living, and it's awesome. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. And it's the life that God wants for us. And so it's like, again, and I may be repetitive in some of this, but I really want you to get, he's not beating us over the head. He's saying, this is my way. This is what I have for you. This is what I want for you. Yeah. Praise God. So you watching by Facebook, we thank you for tuning in. We love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Pray that you got something out of this and that you're growing in your walking relationship with Jesus. That's what it's all about. And if you're not saved, get saved. Bless God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All minds clear, hearts at peace. Okay, let's get a Lord a hand of praise.
Yeah, Lord. We love you. We bless your wonderful name. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you again for the praise reports and testimonies that have been happening. We thank you for the healings that have been released in this house tonight and even those who are watching. We thank you for the praises and testimonies that are coming in. I cover each and every one of your sons and daughters in this house in the precious blood of the Lamb. I thank you that they're here. Bring growth, bring maturity, bring multiplication, bring increase into their lives, into this work that we're doing. That this city is never the same again, because you're doing in and through this place in order to reach and win them. So, Father, bless your sons and daughters. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the land of the living. Above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell don't prevail against you, but you conquer, triumph, trample over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God. The Lord bless you and bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, guide you with this eye. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five. Tell them you're glad they were out tonight. Wouldn't have been the same without you.